Good morning. Our reading this morning is Psalm 19. And if you did pick up one of the Bibles from the front of the church, you can find that Psalm 19 starting at the bottom of page 380. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voices go out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than the honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
I don't know about you, but at this time of the year, I often find myself reflecting on the year that's passed. I often find myself reflecting upon the good things that happened and treasuring them up. And also making myself promises and vows and New Year's resolutions, maybe, about how I'm going to treasure those good things better, how I'm going to treasure the right things this year. I'm not sure whether David wrote this psalm at the beginning of the year or not, but he certainly was reflective. He was reflecting upon the way God has revealed himself to him. And David says that God has revealed himself to David in two ways. First, through the heavens, through the skies, and also through the scriptures or the law. The first thing in the psalm that he deals with is the heavens, his creation. He starts off, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." See, David is under no illusion that there is a good and powerful God out there. One that is eternally powerful and divine in nature. He knows that he is a good God and that he loves his creation because he provides for it. We see that in verse 5. When we see we're in verse 5, where God provides the sun, which provides warmth to the earth, life-giving warmth. David treasures knowing God through his creation. He doesn't make the mistakes of the cultures and the world and the countries around him. He doesn't make the mistake of worshipping the sun. Although the sun looks like something worthy of respect and honour and praise, that's what it's talking about in verse 5, he doesn't worship it. He knows that the sun is put there by God, that God pitched the tent for the sun in the heavens. And it is through that he gives blessing. He gives life-giving warmth to the earth. God made everything, and he looks after it. Can you see God in creation? Does it sing to you? Do you hear the glory of God in it, in the sun? Maybe you're not really a sun person at this time of the year. Maybe you're a bit more of a sun hidden behind some dark looming storm clouds would be more your style at this time of the year. Or maybe you're the vastness of a nice starry sky. Maybe you're the light, dapple and gentle light of the moon. But in all things, whatever it is, does it talk to you? Does it sing the praises of a good and eternal loving God? Because it does for David. And David treasures knowing God through his creation. That's the first way that David says that God has revealed himself, through the things that he can see in creation. Sometimes this is referred to as general revelation. It's the way that everyone in the world can see and know that stuff about God. The second way that David says God revealed himself to David is through Scripture. God has revealed his desire to have a relationship with humanity. He's revealed his desire to know and have a relationship with us through his Scripture. And sometimes this is referred to as special revelation. David refers to it as the law in this psalm. He says the law is perfect and refreshes the soul. See, David treasures his relationship with God, and he also treasures the law. He treasures the law that gives him access to that relationship. From verse 7 to 9, it describes how David treasures the law. You will notice that David says something about a characteristic of the law and then an effect that it has on David. Also notice, as we read through the verses, that there is a building. As you mature, as you understand the law, it builds to a fullness, a full understanding of who God is and what he's done. I'll read it for us, starting at verse 7. The law of the Lord is pure, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the law are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Do you see how it builds? The more David understands the law, the more he understands the relationship that he has with God the Creator. And to the point where it lights up his eyes. The idea there is it actually provides light for his life. It provides a path. He's guided by God's law. Develops in him a life that is centered around loving the Lord. Verse 9 is a little bit curious. The fear of the Lord is pure and enduring forever. It's actually a summary of what it produces in David. Not only does it provide direction for David's life, but it also provides the right relationship with God. See, to fear the Lord is to take the correct posture towards God. It is to have a reverent fear of him. It is to be in a good relationship with him. This fear is pure. The way that David relates to him is pure, and he knows will endure forever. How about you? Do you value Scripture? Do you value the Bible in this way? Do you feel that it is good and profitable for your life to provide direction and wisdom for it? Do you feel and know that it is a way to know God and have an eternal forever relationship with him? David certainly does, and he treasures this opportunity that he has, that God's revealed to him through his law. The next verse says, he declares that the law of the Lord, the decrees of the Lord are firm and altogether righteous. What he's saying is that they're unchanging and that they are effective and do their job. David feels that the law does its job. It reveals God's desires to him and connects David to God. And so he thinks they are more precious than gold, sweeter than honey, because by them he is warned in how to live a good life, one that acknowledges God. He knows that there is a great eternal reward for doing it. But the next verse has a really large problem for David, doesn't it? It reveals that David can't actually keep this law that he treasures. And confesses that he doesn't actually know all the ways that he breaks it. And he goes on to confess that not only does he not know all the ways that he breaks it, but even sometimes the ways that he does know, he still manages to break. David is in a right pickle. Although he loves the law and he desires and treasures a relationship with the God, the creator of the universe, he can't keep it. He's locked out of an eternal and forever relationship with God. But is that the same for us? Are we in the same predicament as David? Or are we different? Paul picks up some of the themes of Psalm 19 in Romans 1. And he describes in there the situation of the world. He summarises it. Let me read it for you. I'll start at verse 18. This is Romans chapter 1 from verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's eternal qualities and divine power have been clearly seen, because being understood from what he has made, so that people are without excuse. Sorry. For although they knew God, they nor glorified him nor gave thanks to him. Paul is saying that the whole world is in the same situation as David, saying that we're all in the same predicament. Although God has revealed himself to us and he has looked after us, and that we all know that he desires a relationship with us, we all know that we deserve to give him glory and honour and thanks for the things that he's done. We don't do it. And we are separated from God because of it. We are locked out of the relationship. For me, the next part of the psalm is truly amazing, what David says next. Although David loves the law and treasures the relationship that he has with God through it, what he sings about next is not the law. He doesn't sing about the way the law restores him back to God. He doesn't sing about the way that it atones for his sin. What does he say? I'll read it. But who can discern their own error? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. See, it's truly amazing. Somehow David knows that the law can't fix his sin. Somehow David knows that his sin will only be dealt with when God himself deals with it, when God himself forgives his sins. And he trusts that God will do that. He knows that God will forgive his sins. He will be innocent of much transgressions. He will be able to have this restored relationship with God. But David doesn't know how God is going to do it. He doesn't know the name or the agent. But we do, don't we? This side of the cross, we know the way that God is going to restore us. We know the way that God is going to forgive our sins. Later on in Romans, Paul elaborates and explains how God is going to do this for David and for us. I will read it to us. So this is Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. But now, apart from the law, our righteousness from God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Then there is no difference between Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes through Jesus. If you treasure a relationship with the God, the creator of the universe, then the way to have that relationship is to have Jesus' righteousness. To trust that Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross was for you. Because Jesus came to fulfill the law and set it aside. Because David couldn't keep it and nor could we. See, Jesus was the one that truly trusted the Lord, the law. He was the one that knew that God's ways were right, and he knew that it was radiant to follow his decrees. It illuminated his life and led him straight to the cross where he died for us. But he had a fear of the Lord that was pure, and it endures forever, and he rose again, that we too might rise with him when we put our trust in Jesus. So we don't have to submit to the law anymore. It's done away with. Jesus has fulfilled it. We have his righteousness when we put our trust in him. So we can have a relationship with the God, the creator of the universe, through trust in Jesus. What does it look like for us to trust Jesus? Well, we use Jesus. We live like Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour. The psalm is kind of actually about Jesus. We can insert him straight in if you like. You can look along. I'll start at verse 7. Jesus is perfect, refreshing the soul. The gospel is trustworthy, making wise the simple. The will of Jesus is right, giving joy to the heart. The example of Jesus is radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is made pure in Jesus, enduring forever. The cross of Jesus is firm and altogether righteous. He is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. He is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By him your servant is warned. In keeping him there is great reward. But who can discern the error? Forgive my hidden faults in Jesus. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of much transgressions. See, we get the great privilege of being in a relationship with God. We have his righteousness through Jesus. And like David, we're set free to love and enjoy this relationship in Jesus. We can read scripture and grow and have it guide our life and our heart. And we can have an eternal future in that relationship with God. If you're a little bit like me, though, when I reinsert Jesus into the psalm, it still sounds a bit like a law, doesn't it? It still sounds a little bit like we must do these things to be in a relationship with God. But that's not at all what the psalm is about, is it? The real gold of this psalm, the real revelation in the psalm, is not about what we need to do to be in a relationship with God. It's about trusting what God has done for us so that we can be in a relationship with him. You see, it's absolutely astounding the way David treats his sin. He loves the law, and then as soon as he's convicted of the sin that it produces, he confesses it. It's not usually the response I have. Normally, when I become aware of my sin, I put it off, minimize it, hide it. But not David. He rejoices in knowing God. And he stands confident that God will forgive him. And we know, because no sooner does he confess it, he doesn't break stride and move straight on to asking God to forgive him. See, what I want to treasure in 2:19, so I want to treasure trusting God with my sin. I want to treasure the relationship that he wants with me and know that he has fulfilled it in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you are a good and loving God. Lord, we thank you that you revealed yourself to us. Lord, we thank you for your word that continues to reveal the good news of Jesus. Lord, help us to read your word and understand the good news that you desire to know us and that you've made it all totally possible through Jesus. Help us to love and serve you out of the gratitude of our heart, not because we need to, but because we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.